In many and various ways, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets. But now in these last days, God has spoken to us by the Son. As Jesus and his disciples, by the way, if you read the context, went towards Jerusalem and approached a town, 10 men came to see him, men with leprosy, asking him for mercy. Well, they were probably asking him for money. Asking for mercy was a polite way of saying that in those days. Jesus, Master, have a little pity on us. In other words, buddy, can you spare a dime? In the text, we see the reality of having leprosy in those days and how it comes into focus. First, we should mention that leprosy was, for a long time in the 20th century, interpreted as an infectious skin disease. And here you see a man with leprosy, actually Hansen's disease. At one time, it was considered the same thing as this, a bacterial infection that had disfiguring consequences. Now, in the 21st century, we have returned to the biblical text and see that leprosy was not simply one dreaded infectious disease, but a variety of diseases that were not communicable, a variety of temporary maladies, mostly of the skin, but you could also have leprosy of your clothing, leprosy of your house. Moreover, persons affected by the affliction were not seen in Scripture as having a medical disease at all, but a spiritual problem. Hence, if you thought you had leprosy, you did not go to the physician, rather you went to the priest. And if you were pronounced with this skin condition, you were cut off from the rest of the community. You moved out of town, you tore your clothes, you put on a mask. If others came near you, you had to warn them that you were unclean. All of that meant that you had no way of making a living, no way of relating to your family. So the purpose of all this was to move people to repentance as quickly as possible so that the leprosy would go away and you could be rejoined to your family and livelihood. So it was outside the town that the men with leprosy met Jesus and his followers. And it is here that we see Jesus seeing the men in their condition. The word see connects this gospel story with an earlier one, the one we see here on the screen, the parable of the Good Samaritan. All the people in the earlier parable see the Samaritan who was robbed and left by the ditch, but it is only the man who was robbed and left by the ditch. It is only the Samaritan, however, the outsider, the refugee, the foreign traveler, the person from another religious group, traveler. Jesus tells the 10 men with leprosy, go, show yourselves to the priests, as did Elisha, commanded Naaman in our first story, go and wash yourself in the river Jordan 7 times. The two stories have other similarities. The healings do not come until after the command is obeyed, yet the command in both of them, neither command in them is onerous. We see this in the servant's response to the commander. If the prophet had told you to do something difficult, would you not have gladly done it? Let's try this simple thing and see what comes of it. The leprous men in both stories go and do as they are told, and in the going and doing, the healing happens. For the 10 in the gospel, it happens as they go to the priests. Then one of the 10 men sees, and there that word see again, he sees that he has been healed, and upon taking notice, turns back to Jesus again. The point of the story is not the healing, but rather what takes place after the healing. In both Testament stories, thanks is given, and thanks is given by foreigners. The ones supposed to be less deserving, outsiders, are often unexpectedly heroes in biblical stories. The reason is that the Israelites had a long history of being outsiders. Abraham wandered through the entire Fertile Crescent. The sons of Jacob and their families went down into Egypt. When they got too numerous, they were made into slaves. Moses came to set them free at the Exodus, and again the people of Israel were outsiders, wandering through hostile lands, often unwelcomed by those they met. And at the end of the monarchy, when God's people were taken into captivity, again the people were strangers in a strange land, though this time it appears that the welcome was a little bit more congenial. Many stayed when they had the opportunity to return, and so a community grew up in Babylon, a community of Jewish people. Because of these realities, being a community on the move, God's command was that travelers, foreigners, refugees should be given hospitality, welcome, and protection among the people of God's promise. The proper response to God's saving mercy, then, is not presumption that we deserve this mercy, but rather assumption that we don't deserve anything. That was the reason from the lesson from last Sunday's gospel. We are merely servants in the divine drama. So our proper response to the grace and mercy of God is gracious gratitude and pure praise. The grace of God is for us, but as something unearned, not deserved. And there is a postscript to this gospel. All 10 received healing that day, but only one received salvation. Jesus says, "Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well." This story challenges us to recognize gratitude as an expression of faith. Gratitude may reveal humility of spirit and sensitivity to the grace of God in one's life. What can be a better expression of faith than the gratitude and wonder at what one understands to be the unmerited expressions of love and kindness from God and from others? None of us is entirely self-made. Rather, we are blessed in ways often not even understood, which we cannot even begin to repay. For those who begin to comprehend God's grace in their life, all of life has the potential to become infused with a sense of gratitude, and each encounter with the other becomes an opportunity to see and respond in that same spirit as the grateful one who turned back. Amen. All the paths of our Redeemer are steadfast love and faithfulness. Amen.